Welcome to another edition of Girls on Film. I am your host, Liz Whittemore, and tonight we're talking about a very special new film called I Am Big Bird. When I was a very small child, my mother would set me up each morning on a little wooden potty with a tray of Cheerios and Sesame Street. Every night, I listened to the likes of Bert and Ernie, Telly and Grover, and all of my Sesame Street friends. But as I think back to a voice that was so distinct, I always think of one in particular, a tall, endearing yellow fellow named Big Bird. Back when I was a preschool teacher, I used to play my students all the songs from Sesame Street albums, and I fully intend to share the same memories with my own children. Directors Chad Walker and Dave LaMattina bring us the joyous new documentary about the man inside the bird, Carol Spinney. I Am Big Bird is a fascinating look into how this beloved character came to fruition. I was lucky enough to have a phone call with Chad Walker and Dave LaMattina, and here is our interview. Enjoy.
Hi there, this is Dave and Chad.
Hey, Dave and Chad, it's Liz.
Hi, Liz, how are you?
Good, how are you? I don't know about you guys, but I just got to listen to the most amazing song about being on hold.
Oh, yeah, that's funny. We've gotten that song many times.
It's amazing. I've never heard it. It's incredible, and I need to have it somehow. So thanks for taking the time out to talk to me, you guys. I really, really adore this film. It just, the best way for me to describe it is it just absolutely hugged my heart and made me relive my childhood, and it's just fantastic.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. So we'll just dive right in. How did you guys first get in contact with Carol?
Sure. Well, this is Dave.
Yeah.
And back in 2005, I had an internship at Sesame Workshop, and it made a huge impact on me. I was only in home video, so I wasn't, you know, on the set. I never saw any of the puppets. I was mostly dealing with computer screens. But it was an internship that I loved. I loved what they were about. I loved just everything there. And so I was raving about it several years later at a hockey game to one of my friends. And she said, oh, you know, that's really cool. I'm family friends with Carol Spinney. And I was like, oh, does she work for the show? She's like, well, no, it's a man. And he's Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch and has been since 1969. And she proceeded to then tell us, like, these crazy stories about how he was so close with Jim Henson and how he really hated New York. So Chad and I started talking about it, and we felt like there's got to be, you know, we've got to do something about it. We've got to make a film about it, and, you know, reach out to Sesame Street. I still had a couple people I knew there, and sort of thought it was going to be a dead end where, you know, bureaucracy and red tape. But I think within a week, we got a phone call back from the head of Sesame's PR department and said, why don't you guys come in and meet with Carol and Deb? And, you know, a week after that, we were in meeting with Carol and Deb, and, yeah, it's just, they said yes, which was amazing.
Yeah, it was super surreal, that first meeting, because Carol had Oscar with him.
Oh, and wow.
About halfway through the meeting, and we didn't know, so about halfway through the meeting, all of a sudden you look over, and Oscar has popped up. And Oscar's not talking, but he's, like, blinking and looking around while Carol's talking. It was, like, the most surreal moment. And then as I'm having a conversation with Carol about something, all of a sudden Oscar just comes to life and goes, boring, and, like, cuts us off. never in a million years could we have imagined the meeting kind of going down like that.
That's so amazing. That's got to be crazy to sort of experience that firsthand, but they're both there, and they're both very distinct individual characters, if you will. So that must have been an absolute trip for you guys.
Yeah, we knew at that point that we had something. The other thing that happened in that meeting, and this was an important meeting, as you can tell, but in that meeting, we went in and thought, for sure, this is going to be a movie about a guy who's old and he's going to retire. And, you know, even if it takes us 2 years to make, Carol's going to retire and we'll capture the retirement of an American icon. And, like, the first thing he said was, yeah, you know, I've done it for 40 years at this point. I'm planning on doing it for 50. And we're like, well, that goes out the window. But in that same time, his wife Deb came to the movie. And as you've seen, Deb plays a pretty huge role in the film. And it was so evident to us that the film was actually going to become a love story, because the two of them can't keep their hands off each other. They're like teenagers in love. You know, they finish each other's sentences. Like all those sort of things you read about in sonnets that you never see in real life, and are 100% embodied by the two of them. Yeah.
Their footage must have felt like an absolute jackpot for you guys. I mean, that's like a filmmaker's dream. How did that even, did that come up in conversation? Did they offer that to you initially, or how did that work?
Yeah, so in that first meeting, Deb said, you know, I'm not a professional or anything, but I've pretty much videotaped everything we've ever done. So as soon as she said that, yeah, Dave and I kind of looked at each other and were like, well, I mean, we think that sounds amazing. And then she proceeded in the following weeks and months to just drop off box after box after box of everything from film reels to VHS tapes, DVDs, Hi-8, you know, just everything that they ever shot. And, like, thousands of photographs, too, that we went through and we scanned. And it was just amazing. You know, like, the first pass of the movie almost had no, you couldn't see any of the people we interviewed because we were trying to jam in so much of this amazing archival stuff. We had to, like, do, like, an archival removal pass on the movie. You know, the first box was, like, Muppet Family Christmas, follow that bird behind the scenes.
It's awesome.
Like, we were just losing. We were losing our minds. But then as they got to VHS, you know, like the extended long play VHS, that would be like 8 hours long. So it'd be like 8 hours of just like driving through New Zealand with a camera like mounted on the dashboard looking out at the countryside. But even that, you had to go through it because you never knew when it was going to cut to some magical little moment, you know?
That's just, I mean, that's so incredibly fortunate. I mean, I can't imagine. Have you guys even considered yet, because you have such a plethora of footage, maybe adding more to a DVD release since there's just so much there?
Yeah, that's actually, so there are going to be two versions of the DVD here in the States. There's a DVD that's put out by Tribeca, mm-hmm. Which is super awesome and has great special features, like some of that stuff from behind the scenes. And then we put together a special DVD and Blu-ray combo for our Kickstarter backers that has even more of Carol's stuff. So because those people tend to be the more hardcore Muppet fans, you know, they get some stuff like Carol's short films that he made, like, in the 50s, which are crazy, and all this really, really cool stuff. There's, like, Carol meeting Michael Jackson on there, which is kind of an awesome, like, little anecdote that he tells. So, yeah, there's definitely more for that, and it's one of those things where, you know, sometimes you get a DVD and you're like, wow, this doesn't really need any special features, but it's one of those moments that we are very happy that DVD special features are a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. Good for those guys. Those are going to be a hot commodity. Those Kickstarter ones are going to be they're going to be a hot commodity. Let me tell you what. So I'm assuming, and I could be wrong, but were you both raised on Sesame Street as I was?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what was kind of strange was I didn't realize how much Sesame. Well, twofold. How much I forgot about Sesame and how much, though, it deeply impacted me all at the same time. And I didn't realize that until we started making this movie, going through, like, all the archival footage of, like, old shows and stuff. And then just the random segments that would hit you and just throw you right back in time to being, like, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old, hanging out with your parents or whatever at your house. There's, like, this silly little segment of a girl building a three-legged stool with her dad. It's like kind of in time lapse a little bit, so they're kind of going a little extra fast. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, wow, I'm like right back to being 6 years old with my mom hanging out watching this. It's surreal. It's like how much you forget, but then in an instant you're right back there.
Yeah, it's such a testament to the men and women that work on Sesame, not just the puppeteers and the Muppet performers, but the writers, everyone on the show. It's people. Doesn't really matter who you are, will come to, they could be sort of hard New Yorkers, and when they see Sesame, they have that soft spot in their heart because it just takes everyone right back to that place and that time. It's like, I always say it's like that moment in Ratatouille at the end when the critic tastes the food and flashes back to his, like, perfect childhood.
Right, exactly.
We've seen that a lot when people see the movie, which is kind of cool.
How was being on set? Was that just, like, the penultimate for you?
It still is. You know, the first day we went was only maybe a few months after we met Carol for the first time, and Sesame only films now for a few months in the summer, so we need to get to the set. And the very first day we went, Mr. Snuffleupagus was on set, and Oscar's Sloppy Jalopy was out there, and then Carol gets into Big Bird, and it's just, you know, Chad captured it, he shot it, on set, and then he put it into the film as the editor as well. And that moment where Big Bird comes to life, it's so remarkable, and it really is like Carol really does disappear. And I thought that would sort of wear off once we got to know Carol, and the magic would disappear a little bit. But I think because we know Carol, it's actually gotten even more special. So we went to the set a couple weeks ago, and we just were hanging out. We weren't working, and we watched Carol do Big Bird, and it's remarkable. I can't explain the magic behind it, honestly.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be tarnished, like you're looking at the set, and then you turn around and see the cameras, but it absolutely wasn't. It was really amazing.
What do you think it is about Big Bird that makes him so special? I mean, obviously, those of us who grew up with it have a connection, but just in general, like, what do you think it's his childlike innocence, or just he's just so incredibly iconic that he's been around for so long? Like, what do you guys think makes him so special?
This is Dave. I think there's certainly something to be said for the longevity of it, just to see something that you've seen from your childhood and have that fond flashback. But that said, those things don't always hold up. For me, Big Bird, I connect with Big Bird, I think, because he's such a sensitive character. And so you both feel like he understands you. He's compassionate. But you also want to protect him. Even as a kid, I think you want to protect Big Bird. And so I think that sensitivity speaks to people and connects with people. And it's one of the reasons he's had the longevity he's had.
Yeah, I think because he's six on the show, so many kids immediately relate to him because he's in situations that they're in, you know, both good and bad. So I think it really is like just having another friend and a friend who's going through exactly what you're doing, you know, and, yeah, you can just immediately relate to him. And seeing him get through stuff on the show, I think, gives, you know, kids hope that they will get through the same thing, whether it's learning to read or whatever.
So how long was the entire process from inception to the final cut?
It's funny. We started at a kind of a breakneck speed, but, you know, like I said, there was no real bureaucracy. We got right through to him. Carol and Deb said yes pretty quickly. We were on Sesame Street with, like, 2 months later. It was very fast, and I think we thought the film was going to be done pretty quickly, but here we are roughly 5 years later, it's being released, and a large part of that was going through their footage and sort of finding what the story is.
Yeah, it was like 500 hours of archival stuff that first Dave would transcribe, and then I would log and into the edit system and everything, and then we would go through together. So it was a pretty big task that took quite a while.
But in the end, it was a bit of a godsend because it gave us that time to build a relationship with Carol and Deb and get to know him a little bit better, and so sort of get beyond just how he met Jim Henson and how the Big Bird works stories and get to the stuff that really are the moments of his life that have shaped his character and then make Big Bird and Oscar who they are.
Yeah. What's really cool is the more people that see the movie and come out for the Q&As and stuff, it's really nice to see them really affected by Carol now. You know, maybe they came because they really loved Big Bird and Big Bird helped them a lot, but then they come to the movie and maybe learn something that they didn't know about Carol, whether it was he was bullied or he went through a divorce. But, you know, he was able to get through it, and a lot of people now look at Carol, the man, as having a big impact on them because maybe they relate to him because they were bullied or maybe they went through divorce and it wasn't so great. So that's been really, really special to see audience members react that way.
Yeah, I think I had the same reaction too. You know, you watch this incredibly relatable man, and you guys had such great background on him. So to see him sort of navigate his emotional journey as he grew, I don't think there's a single person that could watch this film and not relate to him in some form or fashion. And then knowing that he's Big Bird and really knowing that all of that informs who Big Bird is, it's like this crazy, beautiful double-edged sword that you just sort of fall in love with the both of them even more than you did before. And I just think it's just so lovely. Like, I can't imagine being on set. When I got back to New York a couple years ago, I actually wanted to apply for a job at Sesame, and they just literally the week before put a hiring freeze up, and I was devastated. I was absolutely devastated. I was devastated. And it's ironically, I found the one girl that got the job that I wanted. She had been hired 2 weeks before I got back to put the application in. But you know what? Good for her. She's having the best time ever. She's actually working on the mock videos that they put together when they do like the Game of Thrones or Mad Men. She's doing that, which I think is the coolest thing ever. But I've always been, they're great. And I've always wanted to be on set, you know, again, growing up with the show, you know, seeing Sesame Street Live and going to, you know, Sesame Park in Pennsylvania and stuff like that. Like, you know, you don't realize, like you were saying, you don't realize how ingrained the show is in your entire childhood. And so to be here in New York where they're filming is awesome. I mean, they're near Lincoln Center. And so I think it's just so special that you think maybe any day you're out in the summer, you might be able to catch them working on something, you know, because they do a lot of stuff outside now, too. In the local communities.
Yeah, they're all over them.
So just the simple thought of being able to catch them on one of these days just makes the city even more magical. So I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine what it was like for you guys to just. It must have been just like kids in a candy shop, like when you're around everybody.
You know, is that having the relationship with Carol and Deb? Now that like Chad and I actually both became dads throughout the course of this film, so he now has. We had. Neither of us were married or had children when we started this production, and now he and his wife have two, and my wife and I have one. And so I think it was a very emotional experience for us to have that happen during this film. But also now, like, for our kids to watch Sesame, like, I took my son to a Sesame stage show, and I welled up a little bit when Carol sent, you know, Big Bird sings a song, and I hear Carol's voice, and it's like, I mean, it wasn't an emotional song, but I just heard it, and I was like, oh, this is a really amazing experience to have this connection with my son, and it's something that I'm very, very thankful for.
Yeah, when I watch Sesame with my kids all the time now, we're sitting there watching it, and I think, are they going to have a similar moment that I did when I went back and watched these shows, you know, like 30 years from now, are they going to randomly see a Sesame clip and immediately be brought back to this moment with the three of us watching? I love how, circular everything is.
Yeah, it's awesome. You guys both of you wear like a lot of hats in this project, directing, producing, writing, camera. Now, is that by necessity, by choice, or both?
Good question. I think somewhat out of necessity, but also a lot out of choice. You know, now that we've moved on to do other projects and films, we like to work with people that we've worked with before, so we like to keep a pretty close-knit family, honestly. And so I think just the way, I've said this to people before, but, you know, Chad and I have now done three feature docs together and one short doc, and I can't really imagine either A, doing it on my own, or B, doing it with someone else, because we've developed just a system and sort of a shorthand. He's very much, I relate to him very much the way I relate to my wife, honestly. So I think it just works. I think for a story like this, that is a pretty intimate one. And I think for most docs, honestly, the smaller you can keep it, the fewer people you can keep involved, keeps that story as personal as can be.
Yeah, that's why I love docs. You know, you have a lot of different interests. You know, like like my trade or whatever you want to say, my history is actually in editing. So that's kind of where I came from. But I always loved camera. And, yeah, our first documentary was a small doc, so that was kind of out of necessity, right? Like, we all just kind of did everything. And then you just really fall in love and develop a system. And, you know, we, of course, have freelancers and stuff come in from time to time. But, you know, I think we really benefit from having each other there, not just, like, one voice as the director or, you know, like, we are constantly bouncing things off each other. So when you hit a wall, you have someone to bounce something off of, you know, whereas if you're alone on an island, you know, you can easily hit a roadblock.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. You guys, we just finished this year's Tribeca Film Festival run. And this was really popular last year at the fest. I feel like documentaries have really just exploded in the past year, which is great. I think a lot more people are watching them. They're not like hesitant. I don't think there's a label on them anymore in the sense of perhaps being boring or not something that you'd be attracted to. Do you think that has anything to do with the accessibility of them now, or what are your thoughts on sort of documentary in the scheme of, you know, in the past maybe year or two?
I think platforms and the availability, you know, has made them, and honestly, Netflix, I think, has played a huge, I think you can't underestimate the role Netflix has played in the popularity of documentaries.
Absolutely.
And it's like a chicken egg situation. But, I know that I have friends, it's always hard when you're in the documentary world to sort of gauge the popularity, but when you have a friend that has nothing to do with, you know, docs and is a friend from your childhood and calls you up and is like, oh yeah, and I just saw these three docs, it's really impressive, you know, like, it's, I think people just having the ability to have so many options has been really a blessing for what we do. And when, you know, Chad and I started doing docs, it was certainly before Netflix was doing a streaming service. I think there is no label. We used to work in animation, and one of the directors made a statement to me once and said, you know, like, I look forward to the day when animation isn't a genre, you know, like you could have a comedy that's an animation, so they're not pigeonholed as genres, the genre of animation. And I think to some degree that's starting to happen with, you know, with docs, with like a 30 for 30 thing on ESPN, you have sports movies, you don't necessarily call them sports docs, and they're as compelling, if not more so, than some of the other stuff that's put out.
Yeah, I think that the craft has come so far, you know, and so many docs even use reenactment, which make it feel a bit more cinematic. I know I won't speak for Dave, but for me, my favorite films, even like, big blockbusters, are the ones that are based on true stories, you know, or true events. I know they take liberties, but there's something about life, right, and crazy things that happen in life that are just as entertaining as, the next big Avengers movie, you know. And so I think that, you know, now docs, people don't look at docs as like, you know, the history of the earthworm that will bore them to tears. It's the craft is there and the stories are great and it's real. And I think people really get excited about that.
Yeah, I think maybe generationally too now, with Netflix streaming and sort of that being the norm, I think that a lot of kids want to get behind causes. So there's certain things that they, you know, are attracted to, and everything, you know, is viral, that type of thing. So I think docs have really come a long way, and it's really nice to see that even there's a younger shift, there's a generational shift in who's being attracted to documentaries too. So it's been really nice to see. And I think that this one in particular, for me, feels like an absolute instant classic, since so many people have been affected by Sesame Street and Big Bird in particular. Is that something that you, as you were filming, did you think, okay, we've got like absolute gold here, like this is amazing, like just based on subject, did you have that feeling as you were putting everything together?
I think it's more of a classic and more of a terror that we're going to screw it up. You know, like there's a big responsibility to tell Carol's story and to, you know, be the sort of record of a man who has affected so many people. So I think more than anything, we were just really determined to get it right. And, you know, like, there's only so much input you can seek, but at some point you have to trust that your vision is the one that is right for the story. And I think at the end of the day, it was. But, yeah, it was definitely a big responsibility.
I think you guys pulled it off flawlessly, and I'm super impressed. And I've been telling people about this for months. I saw it 6 months ago, so I've been talking about it nonstop, and I'm so excited that it's finally coming out. And I'm happy to have the chance to talk with you guys, and I think you should be super proud. And I just want to say thank you, and I look forward to talking to you guys again on your next project.
Well, thank you so much, Liz. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that would be great.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully then we'll talk to you guys soon, and have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, too.
All right, bye-bye.
This has been another edition of Girls on Film. I am your host, Liz Whittemore. I'd like to give a thank you to our incredible producer, Melissa Hansen, and a very special thank you to Chad Walker and Dave LaMattina for sitting down and talking to us about this amazing new movie. Stay tuned on Real News Daily, and we'll be giving you updates on cities where you can find I Am Big Bird in a theater near you. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.
Well, I've been sitting here all day. I've been sitting in this waiting room. And I've been waiting on my friends. Yes, I'm waiting on this conference call. All alone, and I'm on hold. Hope it's not all day. Well, I wonder where they are. Yes, I wonder where my friends have gone.
Where'd they go?
Tell me, where could they be while I'm waiting on the conference call?
I don't know.
Well, I'm holding on the phone. Yes, I'm holding.
My morning's ruined, the waiting time is grueling, and truly there's so many other things I could be doing, like crochet and knitting. Oh, I'm not kidding, man, the waiting's frustrating, and my patience is waning. Any longer than they all will soon discover. This here's my last call, no, there won't be another. I'm over it, gonna give them all the peace of my mind. Oops, you've been on the line this entire time?
This call is being recorded.